Remember that naked news thing where the anchor woman would strip while she was giving the news?
Does that not still exist?
It probably does.
I mean, it's the internet.
I mean, wasn't that a foreign news source?
Yeah.
Probably, but
Yeah, it won't
video
be
for
in
all.
it won't be in the sexually repressed United States.
Well, that's okay. They'll just they have a translator do it. The translator is also nude. Actually, I don't know. Maybe not.
I'm trying to think of like even a joke about the translator, like just translating the fact, like describing the clothes being taken off, but not actually taking them off. All
Somehow
right.
her clothes are the clothes are digitally taken off. So as the sign language comes up, the clothes just disappear.
What's up, Whodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Doom Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating right now, I'm going to go with a 1, drinking the new favorite. Anybody know what it is?
The new favorite?
My new favorite. I texted you about it this weekend.
You tacked it? Yeah, you tacked it up. Oh, not a, a Russian mule?
A Moscow mule. Very close.
Moscow mule.
Very good. It's pretty much vodka.
Fake news.
Let me just tell you. The Moscow Mule is the greatest drink ever. It's going to be great. And
my people have made the greatest Moscow Mule ever, believe me.
It's fantastic. It's tremendous. It's going to be huge. Huge, I tell you. And the Mexicans
are going
to pay for it.
Best Moscow Mules you've ever seen.
You're fired. It's still that time of year where everybody's talking about potential players. And everybody's got a theory on everything. You see what it did there? To that movie from 2014? Anyway, it's almost like a mock draft of rookie impact. They'll call it a mock impact, where every team expects their rookies to make a deep impact. Eh? Eh? On the upcoming season. A couple of articles have been published this week that essentially say the Saints are going to have open season. That's an animated one. You may not know about it. At defensive end and linebacker. I had a reach. And with additional signings in the secondary, it's likely to hold true for the defensive backs, too. And then with so many movie references in tonight's introduction, I might as well tell you to stick around after the show for Jason and Damon's review of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Consider this your spoiler alert. So, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a 2.5. Pretty excited about the show, actually. It's been 2 weeks. It's kind of built. We've had a little bit of news here and there, but just kind of
fake news.
You know, getting outside of my off season. You know, just stepping away from football. Now that we're getting bits and pieces here and there, getting excited for the season. And had a nice dinner. Made some fajitas, steak fajitas. So I'm ready to go.
All
feeling
right.
Good.
Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
Thank you. Feeling good.
All right. Well. We will waste no time and get into headlines. Should we rename headlines to fake news?
You're going to have to find a song for it if that's the case.
Well, see what you can do.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we've had it. I don't know. I don't.
It's time for a shakeup. Yeah. You got to keep things
is
fresh.
It?
Yeah, you've got to keep things fresh. I was thinking of renaming some segments anyway soon or picking some new music somewhere.
Okay. So I guess this will be the last time we have heard...
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
We'll be right back.
infotainment.
All right, so first thing, obviously, Unger is no longer
dead.
Unger is no longer.
Unger passed away a couple of weeks ago. So we don't know what we're going to do at
now he's 6 feet Unger.
Hashtag fake news. All right, so what is it? So what's the truth now? Is it?
Well, he had surgery. You know, it was announced. It was kind of out of the blue last week. It was like, oh, Max Unger had surgery, and all of a sudden just panic took over, overreaction took over. Oh,
the sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Right.
That is Twitter.
That was Twitter. Mm-hmm.
Right. Our old good asshole, Ian Rappaport, said, oh, he might be on the pup. He probably won't back until week 7 or 8. So, I mean, look, he is very important on the offensive line. That would have been a big blow had he missed all that time. Now, look, there's still a chance he could miss all that time. I mean, the Saints, so this week the Saints or Peyton came out and said, no, he had surgery now. Because you figured, look, if he's having surgery, he probably tried to rehab it, didn't work. At least they probably set a deadline. Like, look, if it doesn't work, you got to have surgery by this point so you can be back in a reasonable time. Now, they said week 3 of the preseason. I mean, I don't always trust injury news that comes out of this organization.
Right.
Fake injury news.
Fake news. So, I mean, look, it's not supposedly it's not as bad as everybody initially feared, but I don't know. With anything injury related in this organization, it's always a wait and see. Because they've said this in the past. Oh, he'll be fine. He'll be back in preseason, and then he misses the first 6 weeks of the season.
And then he's never seen or heard from again.
A cherished bird.
So, what do you do about this?
Well, we have Kelamente, who has played multiple spots. I mean, you got to think he's going to be the guy to get all the reps until Unger comes back, whenever Unger comes back.
Clearly, I mean, if Unger weak spot in the line.
Well, it seems like the line is a strength now that we've got Ramczyk and everybody else in place. But Unger, to me, is the most important position, you know, on the line to lose. I mean, hey, look, he touches the ball every single play.
Well, and your center, I mean, sets everybody up and makes a lot of calls at the line of scrimmage. I mean, so yes, the center is him and whatever tackle, you know, which is going to block your quarterback's blind side are definitely the two most important. So, yes, I mean, right. So we don't know as usual, like you said, with this organization, you don't know. They're very they play it close to the vest about injuries. I mean, that's how Sean Payton is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what time of year it is.
Well, they've also had a history of injuries lingering longer than they say.
Right, well,
Boschner. Yeah. Fake doctors.
Fake docs.
All right. Well, it's going to be what it's going to be. And this is, I mean, there's nothing, there's no center out there that you're going to bring in, right? That's going to.
Well, there were rumors for a while. Nick Mangold is a free agent. He's coming off an injury. He's rehabbing an injury, but he was, you know, an all pro for the Jets.
Well, he's one of the best, yeah.
In what years?
Well, he was. I'm right. I mean, he's over 30.
That's what I said was. Right.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's my thing. Like,
So I think just roll with Kelamente and hope that Unger actually is back when the season starts. Because that would be a big loss if we missed him for a couple of games.
All right. Well, let's root for his recovery. Next piece. All right. So here's what we're going to do. This week, like I said in the intro, there's been a couple of articles about the fact that it's kind of open competition at linebacker, defensive end. And for all intents and purposes, even though there wasn't an article about it, that's call it what it is, even at defensive back. So the entire defense is open competition. So let's go by position group. We don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this. But at least kind of take a look and see, what do they mean by open competition? Who is it, and what do you think is going to happen? First of all, for linebackers, you're looking at Craig Robertson, Nate Stupar. This is the group to fight. Craig Robertson, Nate Stupar, Donnell Ellerby, Stephon Anthony, Travis Feeney, AJ Klein, Manti Te'o, Manti Te'o's girlfriend, Adam Big Hill, fake girlfriends, Say Tutu, Tal Tu, Alex Anzalone, and the addition of Mike Nolan as the linebackers coach.
A lot of guys.
That's a lot.
I mean, that's 10 guys you just named. And Ellerby, God bless him. I mean, if Ellerby can stay healthy for 16 games, he is easily the best linebacker we have.
You know, and okay, he'll be my prediction with Ellerby. I think he gets hurt.
The season. Well, no. Thank you. Whoa,
hold
Thank
on,
you,
hold
Notre
on.
Dame.
Hold no, on. Right. Okay. But and he gets hurt and he gets cut because he can't stay healthy. I think he gets
well,
cut.
Well, yeah. Oh, you think he gets hurt before the season even starts?
Oh, 100%.
And then
it's a guarantee.
He's cut. Well, if that, if he gets hurt before the season starts, then yeah, you cut him at this point.
I don't know. It's a lot of guys. I mean, is there any proven great quality? I mean, no. It's, I mean, it's really going to be a crapshoot.
No.
But I would think, I would have to think A.J. Klein will at least grab one of the starting spots. I mean, you're paying him $4 or $5 million a year. You have kind of faith in him. He seems to be very talented. And with Mike Nolan, I think he's probably, if there's a lock, I would say it's Klein.
How many of them do you think will keep out of the 10 guys at linebacker?
Okay, so Klein will keep. Robertson, we're definitely going to keep. Anthony, I'm going to keep. You know, there's an article about Anthony and Mike Nolan, and Mike Nolan appears intrigued with Anthony.
That's just fucking.
I know. Look, it's all
fake news.
But if anybody can get something out of
Anthony,
like he's
going to say, this guy is fucking out of here.
Well, Anthony is cheap. You know, what he costs. You know, his most expensive cost is a roster spot. You know, money wise, he's still on his rookie deal, so he's very cheap to keep around.
Right.
I mean, if he sucks again, the his biggest distract, you know.
And if he couldn't figure out the defense last year, it could have been Vitzfeld.
That he's stupid.
What's his name? Well, could have been Joe Vitzfeld for not coaching him.
I was going to say it's a little bit of both.
Well, I mean,
for the whole position, the one guy you named that I'm most excited about is Mike Nolan. He will have the biggest impact on the linebacker position.
I think that's a good point.
So you're right, and different coaches can get different things out of guys. Let's hope he can coach them up,
right?
And get them to because again, we do out of those names that you mentioned, there is no Jonathan Vilma.
Right now, I'll take it. Like I think, yeah, Mr. Coach Klein is probably the best of the new arrivals. I mean, not probably. He is the best of the new arrivals. AJ Klein.
Mr. Coach Klein.
AJ Klein.
Hey, it's all about movie references. We got to stick them in when we
that's
can.
Right.
Oh, that's what we're doing. Like
that. Yeah. And then
because that's the first time we said Mr. Coach Klein.
Right. And then we even did a clip last time.
Uh-huh. I don't listen to the show.
Oh, that's right. And then Nate Stupar, you guys just refuse to believe in him, but he's my boy, and I hope he doesn't know videos of him beating people with a belt on a beach surface. But I'm a fan of Stupar.
He's athletically limited.
Well, his athletic limit was better than Stephon Anthony's ceiling.
He's smarter.
Really? Because he got on the field. Did Stephon Anthony? Because
he's smarter. Get on the field? We talked about that. Anthony is stupid.
Yeah. I'd take a smart guy who's athletically limited dumb guy who is athletically gifted.
Jason. Oh, what?
Wow, I'm athletically gifted? Man, wow. I feel real good.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that.
So I think Stupar and Klein.
I think Stupar will make it maybe as a special teams guy, but I don't think.
Nah. Well, and that's what you're going to have a lot of those 10 names.
Who's going to beat Stupar out?
I think Robertson is better.
Okay, so Robertson, Stupar, Klein. Who's your fourth guy?
Well, I don't think Stupar is number three. I think it's going to – well, Anzalone they're keeping. I don't know how much time he's going to get. But
oh, because he's going to come in and just suddenly
– I'm not saying that, but he's a recent draft pick. He's going to make the roster.
Okay, so –
just putting him on the roster because
okay,
he's guaranteed.
So right now you are going into the season with Robertson, Klein, Anzalone. Who else?
I think Anthony makes the team.
Okay, Anthony.
I think Anthony makes the team. I think Tao makes the team.
What about Stupar? Does he even make your team?
Special teams.
Special team. Again, I think a lot of those 10 guys.
He's
right. I think their quality, I think you can keep them and put them on special teams. justify the roster spots.
We're all agreeing you're cutting Ellerby because he's just not getting
well, right.
I'm assuming he's hurt. If he's healthy, I think
he's hurt right now. If I had to bet on it, yes or no, I would bet yes right
he's
now.
Pushing him and Unger racing the doctor.
All right. I don't know how he hurt himself, but if I had to bet, Ellerby is very second.
he cut his finger chopping onions in the kitchen.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, but Stupar's got to be the one.
Why do you love Stupar so much?
He's the third best linebacker on the names that we've got that we know of.
I mean, he made some plays last year, seemed to be in the right positions. Yes, I agree.
He also got on the field because did you see our linebackers last year?
Well, the true.
Hurt
well, right.
He's still true. Better than Teau.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Really? What do you know
just
about
Teau? Just because he's got a real wife or girlfriend.
Just because he's got a real job. What has Teau done? What's his career stats that you're going to defend your position?
I mean, no, nothing. I mean, nothing. I just think that, you know, he was a starter in San Diego. Again, yeah. Look, they're not Sam Mills or Jonathan Vilma.
No.
But, you know, but he was able, you know, I don't follow San Diego, but he was able to stay on the field, but, you know, more so than we can say for Stephon Anthony.
All right. Well, I'm buying a Stupar jersey. And his career's over.
So it's May 16th, and Jeff already has his favorite player of the year right now.
That's not my favorite player of the year. That's just my early prediction.
Okay.
That's
maybe
top
not your favorite,
old prediction.
That's
better than yours.
That's your boy for this year. That's Jeff's boy.
That's my boy going into camp.
That's it.
All right, defensive ends. We got the new coach there, Ryan Nielsen, who's going to be coaching up there. Trey Hendrickson, rookie. Al-Qadin Muhammad, rookie.
Draft pick.
Alex Okafor. And then returners, you're looking at Kikaha and Gwacham's coming back.
You still at Kikaha?
I did Kikaha.
He mentioned him.
You didn't hear it? Look up here.
I was distracted.
Another movie reference. So you really, all right, is it going to be Gwacham Kikaha, or are you going to really think that Hendrickson's going to come in and blow it out the water?
I think it's going to be a rotation, but I think Okafor is going to be the guy that ends up being the guy.
Ah, yes. Teamwork.
So I think eventually Okafor is going to end up starting on that other side. And then you'll mix in Hendrickson. You'll mix in Gwacham. I don't, you know, the team says, oh yeah, Kakaha's recovering from his injury and he looks good and whatever, but there's a good chance he doesn't even make the team.
He's going to end up playing linebacker because none of the other guys are going to make it.
I mean, he's got three torn ACLs. I don't think he can come back.
All right. And then the impact of Nielsen. What do you know about Ryan Nielsen?
He's better than Will Johnson. That's all I got.
Okay, Damon, what do you think? How many defensive ends do we take on the roster, Damon?
What do we normally keep? Probably five or six? No, never mind. Maybe four or five?
Yeah,
five.
I mean, three to five, somewhere around there.
You got Cam, Okafor, Hendrickson, maybe, you know, the rookie from Miami. I would tend to think he'll make the team. I mean, I don't know. Muhammad.
Yeah, don't ask me to.
And watch him. Then, yeah, you're saying five, then you're basically just cutting Kikaha.
Likelihood. Now, they could do with the rookie, put him on, you know, like IR and put him out for the season. That's very possible.
Well, the guy Miami wasn't hurt. He was just kicked off, but he couldn't play because of this investigation. He wasn't hurt.
You can put a guy on IR even though there's not hurt. We find ways. I mean, teams find ways.
Get to Ochsner doctors to say he's hurt.
So if he, you know, if they stick him on the rookie IR, because if he goes to the practice squad, somebody's going to pick him up. So if they put him on IR, then maybe you're looking at either Kakaha or.
If you put him on IR, can he practice?
No.
No.
I mean, he could probably go work out. That's about it.
Okay, so I don't think that's a smart thing to do. The guy
didn't
play football
last
year, and now you're going to put him out of football for two straight years?
Well, it would be just here. Take the playbook. That's it. If he picks it up and he does something in the preseason, he'll make the roster.
Don't do something for 2 years.
Which means he might not be ready.
The only guy that I've ever seen not do something for 2 years and come back and do good is Delvin Bro.
I'm sure there's other people. Don't say the only. Look, if he think, I hope to God he does something that makes it. If he makes the team, that's a good thing. So we'll see. I just know how they are, you know, with decent rookies, if they can't pick it up right away or if something happens, they'll just stick them on the IR and they'll bring them, you know, let them learn the playbook and come back next year.
All right. Well, then you got your defensive backs. And now you, this is Aaron Glenn's second year as DB coach. And I think last year you really can't take it. You can't estimate his ability.
Strictly. Everybody got hurt.
Right. Right. And we actually did okay with, so maybe he is a good DB coach. He did the best with what he got. But you
Sterling
are...
Moore looked somewhat competent in this coach.
Yeah, so you're looking at, let's see.
Well, okay, so, I mean,
Damian Swan.
Samsonite.
Another movie reference.
See, I'm trying.
Yeah. Who's it? Forrest Hightower, Arthur Mollett, Anthony Gator. You ever heard of these names?
Nope. Thank you. I mean, these are all those rookie, you know,
PJ Williams.
You got Lattimore, obviously. I mean, I think Lattimore is a starter day one. I think he's too good.
Oh, 100%.
So to me, he and Bro will be the top two. I mean, Williams and Swan, if they stay healthy, you would think they'll be
Ken Crawley.
3 and 4.
Devante Harris, Eric Harris. I mean, they got a bunch of no names.
Well, yeah. We got a bunch of dudes.
Chris Banjo, safety. Von Bell, Raphael Bush. Robinson Therese.
You counting safeties, too?
Yeah. Kenny Vaccaro, just the secondary.
Okay. Well, safeties, you know, Vaccaro and Von Bell. And then Marcus Williams, you know, the rookie. He'll get some time. Raphael Bush is back. I think all four of those safeties make the team. Mm-hmm. I think that's your four safety. I mean, really, it's the health of PJ Williams, Damian Swan. I mean, Swan has been concussed, what, 2-3 times already?
I thought three, but
I thought he was done. Like, I thought Swan was finished with football.
Look, I don't know. I mean, don't you think? Our starters for cornerback. I mean, like you said, Lattimore, 100%, he's a starter. I mean,
and Bro, right.
Then I think, P.J. Williams and Crawley as the two, you know, your third, you know, your nickel and dime.
Yeah, so then you have Moore and Swan fighting over the fifth spot.
Yep.
The fifth corner.
Right. Yep. And again, I think Swan has more upside. But like you said, he has three concussions, you know.
Yeah.
One more in his career, you know, and that's a whole other fucking thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, his skull's made of yellow.
Right. But, you know, so but with Bro, Lattimore, Williams, and Crawley, I mean, I like those four guys. We have a lot of young talent, and you know, one thing that they all have in common, which maybe the whole NFL is going this way. I don't know, but they're all 6 foot and over. No more 5'10" cornerbacks. I mean, you know, they're all.
Well, Sterling Moore. You're saying Sterling Moore is not going to make the team?
Probably not.
He might not. I mean, dude, I'm a Sterling Moore's. I don't know. Oh, he's been in the league.
More Crawley and Swan. You know, like one of those guys will make it. Mm-hmm. Maybe two at the most.
Right.
Now, you also have, they signed former Georgia Tech quarterback Justin Thomas. Now, he was a quarterback in college, but.
He can play safe in a cornerback?
Well, they got him as either defensive back or wide receiver.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's not playing. They didn't sign him to play quarterback. Now, it is interesting. They gave him a 3-year contract.
Well, I figured it'd take at least 3 years to...
to convert him, right.
Right.
So maybe this is the guy. You know, he goes through training camp. They convert him to either of the other positions, and they just stick him on IR and then let him learn the playbook. And
yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure they could probably stick him on the practice squad. I don't know. You know.
Maybe.
I don't think anybody was rushing to get him.
No, but if he flashes something in preseason, right. You never know. I mean, if he flashes something, they'll definitely put him on the IR.
Depending on what they see in him, again, especially someone that you're trying to convert from one position to the other. You know,
he's a project. You remember the last project we drafted?
Sean Stanley Baptiste?
Yeah, except at least this guy was undrafted. We didn't waste a second round pick on him.
Right. Well, you didn't pick him when you had fucking Jarvis Landry sitting there on the board.
Right. that's still just a chaps my ass.
Pisses me the fuck off.
It really does. It really does.
Yes, it does. Well, again, that's what's so nice about this last draft, and we said it before. Okay, now there's a couple of guys, you know, who've been nicked up, but I think every team can look at their draft and say that. It's fucking football, guys. But you don't have, you know, the project in this draft. No player, he's a project. He's going to be 3 or 4 years.
Right, yeah, nobody that come in and already you know that he's not going to contribute.
Right, right. So
I have this weird, I got kind of like a weird excitement about the season coming up. Now, I know I normally like, oh, yeah, we'll be 10-6, playoffs, blah, blah. But I feel like we've loaded up in positions that we definitely needed to. Hopefully we can get some talent. I think Lattimore is a bigger pickup by us.
Impact, right?
Yeah, because we'll have a bigger impact than anybody thinks. Because normally rookie cornerbacks, they'll struggle, you know, the first year.
The speed of the game, and sure. Right.
Speed and learning, you know, learning technique and learning jamming and stuff like that. But, I mean, I think by the second half of the season, I mean, you're gonna see strides in him. And he is a true shutdown, lockdown number one guy that they really haven't had. And that's going to be the big part of, I mean, this season. I mean, the defense is going to have to be able to on third down to get off the field.
To stop people, yes.
Yeah.
That's always nice.
I mean, we're going to have to. I mean, it's time. I'm so over just having such a shit defense.
Man, yeah, 7-9 the last 3 years. Again, that is a testament to Drew Brees and our offense. Because with the defenses we have had the last 3 years, I mean, we're a 4 or 5 win team.
If that, probably less.
If
than
that, right. We've had historically bad defenses. Literally the worst defenses in the fucking history of the NFL. Literally the worst defenses in the history. Ugh. And we've only gone 7-9. That is a huge testament to, again, the offense, Sean Payton, Drew Brees.
Like, think about that. We have combined the historically worst defenses in the history of the league with one of the best QB performances over the last...
Yeah.
Like 5 or 6 years. Like historic quarterback play and historic awful defense all on one roster.
And look what happened the last time our defense did something. 2013, Rob Ryan was here. 13-3, 12-4.
No, we were 11-5. But we won a road playoff game.
Right.
First road playoff win in history.
Right. Well, Not like we've had a lot of road playoff games.
No, but we've lost all of our other road playoff games.
Yeah.
It's like that's all it takes. I mean, it's amazing how if this organization, you know, defensive wise, had any kind of competency, what kind of a run we'd have been on last couple of years.
Sure, we could have always been there with double digit wins and in the playoffs, 100%.
So I'm just ready. Like at least this offseason, there's a lot of question marks with a lot of these guys we picked up, but at least they said, all right, here's all these guys. Like, we're loading up, drafting a bunch of, getting a bunch of linebackers, defensive backs, defensive linemen, just everything. Just actively saying, you know what, come on, just somebody's got to pan out. They're throwing so many players at it. Law of averages says somebody's going to have to break out. Gives me a little bit of hope.
Renee seems so coarse anyway. What was it like to date her?
Ever slept with somebody?
Yeah.
No, I mean really slept with somebody beside them, not just fucked them on a gaming table.
We slept together one time, remember, in high school, that a ski trip?
That was you?
Let me tell you about this beer I bought here. I went to the beer store.
Is that what they have in Alexandria, the beer store?
The beer store. Actually, it's called Hocus Pocus, your spiritual advisor. It's a liquor store. And they got a lot of it. I was looking for some Abita grapefruit, but they didn't have it. But they said they had Lagunitas beer? You ever heard of that one? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I've heard about it.
Lagunitas?
I wasn't a huge fan, but again, I'm not an IPA fan.
Well, this one's not even an IPA, but it's called Lagunitas, whatever it is, sucks. Brown sugar substitute ale. It's an ale. But luckily, I just did the whole build your own 6-pack, so I got a bunch of samples. This is not the best one, but I'm gonna drink it anyway because it's beer.
Okay.
All right, that's going to take us into look at him tweets.
Yeah.
So this is a series of tweets from Nick at NRG314.
Nick. Nickelodeon.
All right. So Nick says, and I'm gonna read. It's a series of tweets, like a lot. Basically, it's more like an email. Let's dig into the mailbag. Question for the show: how would you view pre-2006 guys like Mike McKenzie, Deuce McAllister? Wasn't McKenzie a post-2006 guy though?
Well, he was before and after. Yeah. Same thing with Deuce. He was before
Deuce
and after.
Deuce McAllister, Joe Horn, even Aaron Brooks. Been a fan since 2002. Saints fan. I think he's a new listener because clearly if he was a longtime listener, he would know our feelings about Aaron Brooks. Possibly even Joe Horn. All right, so been a fan since 2002, and I'm now 29. I think that these guys, maybe less so McAllister, tend to get overlooked in team history. McKenzie was my favorite defender growing up. I even got to meet him. But, all bias aside, I think he is only slightly behind Jabari Greer. Greer was better, more agile, cover guy, but what McKenzie gave up in that respect, he more than made up for in run support. I think McAllister's not only the best back in team history, but had a chance to be a Hall of Fame player, if not for injuries, truly a special talent. And as much as I love Colston and realize that he holds all major receiving records, Horn was a better overall player. Horn led the conference in yards and went to Pro Bowls. He was a top 6-7 receiver in the league in his prime. As good and as underrated as Colston was, I feel like Horn was just the better player, and that gets lost because of the time frame he played. Anyways, I love the show, and I'd love to hear you guys' thought. This is the best place for Saints talk, and you're entertaining.
All right, let me take the let me give him the Joe Horn, Marcus Colston take, and here's how I see it. Joe Horn was a talent, no doubt about it. Joe Horn was a talent and a wonderful wide receiver. He could not play for Sean Payton, even though he did play that 1 year, because of his mouth. Joe Horn is what I would call a typical wide receiver. You know, he was a diva. He was a look at me sort of guy. Nothing wrong with that. I think that position breeds that sort of mentality, you know, because you are always on an island out there. So, Joe Horn benefited, in my opinion, from having Aaron Brooks as your quarterback, as his quarterback. Where if Joe Horn would have been here under Drew Brees, would he have gotten lots of balls? Sure, no doubt. But Drew Brees doesn't, you know, we've all talked about this. He doesn't focus on one receiver.
Unless it's Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham, right. I know. you know, but
fake receivers.
Right, but Aaron Brooks favored Joe Horn, and he deserved it because he was the best wide receiver on the field. I'm not taking anything away from Joe Horn, but I think the two. I guess what I'm trying to say, I think the two are a lot closer than he gives them credit for. You know, on a Sean Payton Drew Brees team, again, Joe Horn wouldn't have been a target as much. And again, we all know his name, a lot of people, because of his antics after touchdowns. We all remember the cell phone call. So, you know, media focused on him. Marcus Colston never did anything exciting for the media to focus on. You know, he never wiggled his dick at anybody or pulled his pants down or did anything stupid. He'd catch the ball, he'd hand it to the referee. So I think they're a lot closer in skill and importance to the team than he's given credit for. Have I made sense to you all?
Yeah. No, look, I did. Look, Joe was very talented, and you know, stick him in his career here and swap him out for Colston, right? Because they spread it out, I think their stats would be very similar.
No,
I'll be honest. I remember, look, the 06 season. I remember Horn got hurt late, and they said, "Oh yeah, he'll be back." You know, end of the season, playoffs, and I remember being incredibly disappointed when it comes out, oh, he's not going to play the game against the Eagles.
Sure.
So, I'm, so then after that, I'm like, oh, well, surely we're going to play him in the NFC title game. Like, he's got to be ready. And nope. And I was like, wow, that's – I remember being, I mean, A, disappointed because I thought we needed him. But then B, it's like, wow, that's interesting that he's not – that he's not back yet, and then, you know, let him go. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he was nearing the end at that point, and like he was, like, Joe Horn was very, very good.
He was, 100%. He was probably, he...
I mean, he's the second best receiver in Saints history, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he's the most athletic receiver the Saints have ever had.
Yeah.
He's the most athletic. Okay? You know, he had the potential to take it all the way on any catch. Now, toward the end, God bless him, and I mean, he would catch the ball, he'd do a little shake, and then he would fall to the ground. You know, I mean, that, I guess, trying to preserve his body, you know. But he, no doubt, he was a, you know, we could all love Joe Horn and remember him fondly. I have nothing, you know, I don't think.
Sucks he went
to
the Falcons for that year, but.
Well, not really, because he didn't do shit. I think he had catch. I think he had one or two catches. I mean, literally. He had under 10 catches. I'm going to say. I can look it up, but I'm not too lazy.
He definitely, yeah.
But,
he definitely
didn't do it. Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind him going to the Falcons, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the Falcons. Fuck him. Don't go to the
Falcons. Yeah, fuck the Falcons. And look, he wanted to get paid. But no, Joe Horn for Nick. So, he started. He's a young man. He started in, 2001. So Joe Horn was a big part of that. But again, we go back to, you know, Eric Martin.
I think Joe Horn was better than Eric Martin.
He was more athletic. No.
He was a better receiver than Eric Martin.
Bullshit. He was more athletic.
Oh, come on.
He was more athletic.
He was more athletic than Eric Martin. First of all, he could run faster.
He was a better receiver. It's not like he couldn't catch. Joe Horn put up.
No, yes, he did.
Joe
but
Horn
I would,
was better than Eric
I would
Martin.
I would put Eric Martin up there. Eric Martin was consistent. And
so was Horn.
But everything. And no doubt. I'm not saying Horn was bad. I'm not saying Horn was bad, you balding little dick cocksucker.
Come on, you don't need
okay?
that.
Okay? I'm not saying Joe Horn was bad. I'm just saying Eric Martin is in the same fucking conversation with Joe Horn and Marcus Colston.
Yeah, Martin's probably number three.
No.
Really? You think Martin's you would rank Martin ahead?
It would. I would put him. I would
it's
put
hard
him equal.
To rank. It's hard to rank a guy that
because
long ago.
Well, yeah. Right, because it's a difference. So what are you using as your fucking litmus test? Is it yards, catches? Because it's a different fucking league in 2000 going forward than it was in 1987.
It is, but I know what I saw. I know Horn.
What did you see?
Horn was great and put up good stats. And
Horn wasn't great.
Hold on. For as much as you guys piss on Aaron Brooks. To me, that elevates Horn because he had to play with Aaron Brooks.
I know because you love Aaron Brooks. I know that. You got ball imprints on your chin from Aaron Brooks. We understand that, and you love him.
I didn't think
we understand. He's your favorite Saint. We get it, Jeff. We get it, Jason.
Yeah,
we get. He's your favorite Saint.
You see how he says?
Yep. All right. So then, talk about the Mike McKenzie there comment. I mean, I think it's a bit of a.
I love
McKenzie. I love what he did for the Saints. I love how he came in 2009.
Sure. But he was when he came in, he was good with us a couple years before that.
Stop. Remember how? Okay, explain how we got Mike McKenzie.
A trade.
Go ahead.
A trade from Green Bay. Right. Yeah. He came. He was a excellent corner in Green Bay, and we traded for him, you know, in the Hazlitt era.
Who was the draft pick we got for that trade anyway? Or we gave a draft pick away, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But look,
Favre.
Look, yeah, he came in and was instantly the best cornerback we had and played really well. I mean, I love Mike McKenzie here.
Yeah.
And the Packers got J.T. O'Sullivan.
Wow.
In that trade.
Hey, we actually won a trade?
Wow. Right. J.T. O'Sullivan.
It depends who they picked with that pick. It might have been Aaron Rodgers. No, I'm kidding.
Didn't you just say J.T. O'Sullivan?
No, we gave them a pick and J.T. O'Sullivan.
And a second round pick.
Right.
We gave
future
him J.T.
draft
O'Sullivan.
Pick. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
J.T. O'Sullivan.
No. I'm sorry. Hold on. He was traded along with a draft pick to the Saints in exchange for JT O'Sullivan and a second round pick. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Okay, yeah. So we probably fucked up the pick and they probably drafted like But either way, look, McKenzie was great, and then he tore his ACL on a I remember the play that he tore it on. You know,
as is tradition in the Sean Payton Saints.
I remember like the long it was a long pass defense. Into the end zone and he was defending, and then he tore it. I was like, oh, fuck. But then he came back, picked off Tom Brady in 09. So look, I have a lot of love and respect for McKenzie. McKenzie was really good.
I do.
No doubt.
I do, but I just and maybe we just that's how shallow our history of defensive backs.
Because we haven't had any good ones. The Saints have been littered with awful defensive backs.
Forever.
I mean, Tracy Porter had, maybe two good years with us, and he's probably, the third or fourth best cornerback we've ever had.
Jeez.
I mean, in addition to his interceptions in the playoffs.
Right. When you say McKenzie was the best back in Saints history, it's not necessarily, that it's because of just his play with the Saints. It's his entire career as a Packer and Saint as to why he's the best we've had. What I'm saying?
In that case, not necessarily a cornerback, but I guess we got Darren Sharper. I guess safety a little different, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're just talking about the Saints. We're not talking about
okay. their. So then his impact with the Saints.
But he was very good for the.
Yeah, again, not taken away from him.
He was really good.
I would take 2007 to, well, not seven. I'd take 2009 McKenzie today over everybody.
Yeah,
not 2000.
I'd rather 2004 McKenzie, 2005.
Right.
Okay.
But look, again, that's why David and I talked about it. I think Lattimore is going to be such a huge addition to this team because he's that talented.
He's going
to
be huge.
He was going to be the best Saints cornerback you've ever seen.
He's tremendous. All right, then I think the other guy that Nick mentioned. Let's see, we talked about. We don't have to go into Deuce. We all know about the Deuce thing. Deuce is one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean,
Deuce
behind Dalton Hilliard, is Deuce better than Dalton Hilliard?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, he had the ACL tears in college. Then he had the one in 2008. I mean, without those.
Right. Well, he had two. He had two here. He had one in the.
Telling Kikaha there's a chance.
Yeah, but Deuce is special. Kikaha is just.
You don't know why.
Right. Right. I mean, because I know Deuce tore it in 2000 and I don't know
Eight.
Two or three or four. No, but he had one.
Oh, really? He tore it back then too.
Yeah, he had one when Hazard was still there.
And he tore one in college.
Right, and he tore right. Then he tore one in eight. That kind of ended it.
Oh yeah, damn.
If you give me 2 seconds, 2005. Must have been 2005 because he only played in five games with 93 carries.
That doesn't mean it was an ACL tear. But it was something serious.
Hold on, I'll fucking read it to you. Hold on, I'm a fucking idiot. He in 2005 after suffering an ACL in his right knee.
Ooh,
so he did it in 2005. And then they don't have the
talent. Well, and 2008, I know for sure he got one.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, two in the pros and one in college.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look, you look.
Yeah, it'll do that.
Right. I mean, and he still had 6,000 yards with us, 4.3 average. No, it's a shame. I would love to have had a Deuce in his prime with Sean Payton.
An uncut Deuce?
You know.
A what?
An uncut Deuce?
That's just.
No. Hey, whatever.
What kind of a show has this become?
I don't know, 3.5. Whatever. What are you gonna say?
All right, let's move on. The last tweet I'm going to mention tonight is from Neil. Good old Neil coming in. Ooh, I just knocked my headset off. Maybe I'm more than a three. Neil says, just checking, but. Do you remember that time the Falcons blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl? This is awesome. Did y'all see the? I'm sure you did. The Jazz Fest flag.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that was. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Just gotta bring them up when you see them.
Again, they're never gonna be able to live this down. I mean, this is. again, it's just, it's awesome. I will never forget it.
Nope. Never forget.
It is so awesome.
Okay.
Well, let's well, take it. I mean,
oh,
go ahead, what were you going to say?
I was going to move into the next segment.
Okay, what's the next segment?
NFL Reach Around.
Of the Falcons and their epic, historic collapse and pants shitting in the Super Bowl. The Falcons have a new motto for this year. And it is, you know, it has to be something incredibly inspirational and uplifting. And the motto is, when the rookies arrived for minicamp and OTAs, they were getting wristbands imprinted with the motto, Embrace the Suck. So they really, really are all about this transgender thing, I think. I think that's where they're going with it, because they all suck dick.
Oh, my God.
I think that's what I'm going for. You see any other way that they're trying to spin this?
I think they're pulling up, look, last year, Joe Madden, the Cubs, you know, they came out with T-shirts that said "Try not to suck."
Right.
You know, no, well, it's not. It's similar.
Well, no, but if you really, if you want to go back to the whole fucking genesis of it, I mean, it's actually a military term. It actually comes from the military that says, you know, obviously what those people do suck. Everything they do sucks. You know.
So this clearly came from Matt Ryan. He's well, embraced no, that would, the suck since he was in high school.
Right. But I thought that would be Don't Shit Your Pants if it came from Matt Ryan.
Mm. Yeah, right.
or Shit Your Pants. Maybe that's
Matt
it.
Ryan was saying,
embrace the shitty pants.
Right, but I mean, look, I guess they're trying to say, look, we fucked up last year. Our last game, we sucked. We fucked it up. Embrace it and move on. And I guess they're trying to...
They're trying to distract themselves from the fact that they blew a 25-point lead.
Right. Well, I don't know if it's distract, but instead of saying, we're not going to pretend like it didn't happen...
Because they can't! It happened!
You
know what it is. You know what? All of this points to... This is why Atlanta Falcons sucks. One of the many, many reasons.
Is everything, but if I had to choose...
It's clear, like, their marketing department runs too much of their organization. Everything that they do, it's all this, like, marketing department gimmick stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
clear, right, right. That,
it's nothing organic. It's all contrived. It's not natural. It's contrived. Where, you know, the Saints, it's all organically homegrown. It's stuff that... rises up out of the fans. You know what I mean? Fan base creates it, and the team embraces, and it's that natural relationship between the fans and the team.
Well, I mean, you're correct. In fact, it was rise up, right? Because they came up with that after our Super Bowl run, and Who Dat became so big.
Right. It's contrived.
Everybody knows Who Dat was New Orleans. Everybody knows that because of 2009. And so they tried to come up with rise up. Like you said, a marketing was just the dumbest thing I've ever fucking heard of.
Right. It's now, a look, marketing ploy, right. Which is clearly designed to be like theme of the year. With
right. Well, look, but with these bottles, we've seen Sean Payton do it too. That's a relatively new, or they could have been
Sean
doing
Payton doing it for his players as a motto for his players and his. That's one thing. The Falcons try to take it and make it the team theme for the city and the community and the fan base.
Well, okay. Well, look, this Embrace the Suck was done by their coach Quinn and given to the players. You know, winning. So I mean, it's the same thing as finish strong.
Okay,
and,
fine.
You know,
then and do your job.
And,
okay.
Stuff like that. But.
All right. Then let me retract and then let me say, their things that they do come up with are stupid. Right. Finish strong. Poop. That's a good one. You know, do your job. That's a good one. Right. Rise up. Embrace. Fuck you. Embrace the suck. Yeah. Oh, you will.
I mean, but the thing is, it has such a potential when Atlanta, like most Super Bowl contestants that have lost in the last several years, they're going to be 6-10.
Right.
Okay, 7-9.
And like you said, I get it. I get it. That the whole idea is like use the fact that we sucked as a motivation to not suck this year. Like don't let it get you down. Let it be a motivator. I get that. Don't get me wrong, you know. But
again
you're trying to come up with a catchy slogan.
Embrace the suck means embrace what we did. We lost. Move on. Okay, accept it and move on. That's what, you know, embrace it and move on. But anyway, like I said, it's going to be even better when Atlanta starts off 1-4 or whatever, and they're losing. The embrace the suck is going
it's
to be just something
on.
Else.
It's going
to
backfire
to pile on
exactly.
to them.
Exactly.
You know, like Matt Ryan shits himself every game and blowing a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl.
Right, and now, you're right. When you start out 1-4, the Saints fans are going to use embrace the suck again.
right. And that is what
we're like the hyenas on the Lion King, like closing in on Simba.
and that is where Atlanta can backfire.
By the way.
You know, the rise up, and of course they never rise up. They you know they suck.
They thought they rose up.
So again, embrace the suck might be a very, you know, look, you suck and you have to get used to it, you know?
Right, embrace it.
Right. Maybe Arthur Blank came up with it. Look, we suck. Please buy PSL so we can pay for this new ass, steel ass.
Speaking of the suck and embracing it.
Right.
So we got to play in that thing in what, November, December? December.
December, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what's the next reach around topic?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Denver Broncos, the Denver Broncos. Let me read from the article. The Denver Broncos have developed a new strategy for dealing with season ticket holders who don't use their season tickets.
Hmm.
The Broncos have rescinded their rights.
What?
According to the Denver Post, the team took away roughly 400 season tickets based on electronic tracking of the on the resale market.
Say what?
The team called it an appropriate weeding out of the season ticket base aimed at putting more tickets in the hands of Denver Broncos fans who want to attend the game. So, look, we all bitched and moaned last year, rightfully so, about how several games they were, I think the Denver Broncos being one of them, where they it definitely felt like there was an equal or greater amount of opponent fans in the Superdome.
Broncos, Seahawks, Raiders, those three games.
But the Raiders, you know, look, the Raiders have always done it. Every time the Raiders come, they
But stay with the point.
But anyway, so what do y'all think about?
So what are you saying? They so what you're saying in layman's term is they tracked the people that sold their tickets to other people.
Right. If you go,
via StubHub or Ticket Exchange.
Right. I'm pretty sure they just used the NFL Exchange, Ticket Exchange, because they're part of that.
Right.
And basically, if you got a season ticket package and you sold all your tickets.
Or half or whatever.
It's full seasons. Full season tickets.
Mm.
If you sold full.
So, in a sense, they're concluding that you clearly bought those tickets strictly to resell them.
Think about it. They probably own good tickets and more tickets in the nosebleeds, and they just sell those.
Saints, every team has that, right? You buy, if you have the assets to pick up a few extra tickets and then sell them and make your money back, you pay for all your tickets. Sure. So what you're saying is that they're going to use that to say, I'm not selling you tickets this year.
They took them away. They took them away. Right.
So how are you going to stop that from saying, okay, last year it was Damon, you did it. So they tell Damon, we're not selling you tickets last year because we caught you. So, no. So the, because it's a group of you that, all right, this year Jason's going to buy him.
Well, no.
I don't think it's going to work that way.
Right. They have a waiting list, just like the Saints. They have a huge waiting list.
So instead, now some guy.
It's the biggest waiting list you've ever seen.
On the waiting list.
Believe me.
Right.
It's huge.
So they lost their. Right. So, you know, you lost that ticket.
And now somebody who wants to go to the games get them.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I like that.
I love it. I love it. I'm all for it.
I like
you
it.
Like that? Go for it?
Yes.
I agree. You're
fucking right. And
I agree. And again, reading the article, it wasn't like if you went, you know, literally if you went to one game, they didn't mess with the fans. And then some fans,
so,
they were
I like
able
that
to
too because it's kind of pure, right? It's like, look,
we're
not judging.
Look, in life, there could be situations where, look, you know, I don't want to lose my tickets, but I can't go this season. Health,
so
money wise, whatever.
Like a medical record to show.
Right. So, and in the article or following, you know, they've said several fans called and appealed and said, look, you know, this is why I didn't go. And the Broncos said, okay, that's fine.
And did
give those fans those tickets back, which is great.
See, this is good because you've given us the whole story rather than what, say, like a CNN or a Fox News or MSNBC or any 24-hour news network.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman.
And they're just going to give you the headline.
Well, they're going to give you the headline like United Airlines beats passenger, kicks him off the plane. The part of the story that you didn't hear was that a passenger was escorted fairly and calmly off the plane, but then ran back to his seat. And refused to move. So same here.
I feel like we've gone off the rails here.
I'm giving a social commentary. So what? And then every airline thereafter says, "Oh, you think that's cool? Well, here, hold my beer. I'm gonna one up you." So then I liked, especially now I like it because you're qualifying the whatever you're doing to the people, and you're not being a total asshole.
But I do not think we will ever see that in New Orleans, unfortunately.
Why not?
Unfortunately, but they need to. Well, if there's a waiting list, why not? They're still going to make the
point. You've got to win more.
I think it's my opinion that as long as the tickets sell, the Saints don't give two shits how it sells.
They don't give a care, yeah.
Because, we're a lot smaller market than Denver. Okay?
Right, we don't have that luxury.
Right.
Telling people, go fuck yourself.
Yep.
It's essentially what they're saying. They're telling fans, go fuck yourself. And maybe it's not fans. Right. It's.
And look, and maybe this works in certain markets, but even with the Saints, and maybe look, during 9, 10, 11, if you bought tickets, you know, if you bought, you know, 5 tickets and you only needed 2 and you sold 3, you could make your money back for all 5. I don't think you can do that in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Unless they win. If they win.
Of course, Jason. Yes.
Right.
If they,
always
definitely not like it was.
Right. But if someone does that today with the Saints, let's say they have 5 tickets, I don't think they're making.
If
their
the
money
Saints
back.
Told somebody who was buying like a nice ticket there and trying to resell it, that I'm sorry, we're not going to make you buy these tickets this year, they might actually be like, oh, thank God, thank you.
Right. So I do not think
thanks
that's
for
coming
getting me
in.
Out of this.
Yeah, I know that's not coming to New Orleans because we're just happy to. To sell tickets, and again,
and we're not a greatly run organization either. We're all about bottom line profit. Hey, tickets are sold. Who cares?
Yeah, something like that, right? Yeah. Something like a Denver thing. You know who could do things like this? Green Bay, because they've got a long waiting list.
Oh God,
Pittsburgh,
New England, San. Well, I don't know about San Francisco anymore.
No, fuck San Francisco. Don't bring up San Francisco.
I don't know about Green Bay because a lot of the Green Bay's tickets, you know, are people from all over the country own Green Bay tickets.
Yeah. And I think, so a team like Miami would not do this because they have an understanding that, like, no one in Miami is an
actual.
They're
not sold out. They still need to sell tickets.
Right.
Well, okay, but not even that. But no one in Miami, like, that kind of thing, like, they're not actual fans. They're just, they've got money and they just want to go have something that's social to do that week. You know what I mean? So they don't care how, right. They're more about bottom line profit. I don't care who sells the tickets. I would just want you to buy them.
They need them sold, right? They need
Jacksonville will never do this. They'll never be in a position to do this.
You mean London, the London Jaguars,
right? So Neil, if you get any ideas, don't try to resell your ticket, or you'll never be able to buy one again.
Right. At least when the Jaguars, they're London.
You do, Richard Jeremiah.
At least when they go to London, they'll get to watch Leonard Fournette.
That's your hometown boy. Hey, we've got a connection there. The London Jaguars have drafted LSU
running back.
So that's cool.
Yeah, we talked about this on the draft recap show. Remember?
Yeah,
but we didn't connect it to the fact that it's
London's new team.
Well, it's our friends over there in the United Kingdom. All right, let's move into Pelican Plunge. I mean, let's move into Pelican Plunge. All right, Jason, you take this segment. I'm going to grab a beer.
All right. So, the lottery was tonight. We didn't win it, so we give up our pick, 10th overall, to Sacramento. Which is whatever. I mean, it would have been nice to get the top three pick. It would have been, I mean, a huge game changer for the franchise. We didn't get it. But when you look at it, so we traded DeMarcus Cousins for this pick and Buddy Hield, basically. So, you know, we only had a 4% chance of getting the top three anyway, and the team's 10th or higher haven't snuck into the top three since, oh God, I think it was like early 2000s or late 90s. So it's been at least 10 years since a team this high has got to the top. So it wasn't expected. We all kind of knew what's happening. But I guess the big news, all the kerfluffle, is they actually came out and announced that Gentry and Demps are back. Because leading up to that, we're starting to get some outcry or, oh, why haven't they announced anything? Why don't we know what's going on? Look, I don't know that Demps and Gentry are the guys to lead this team to a championship. I don't have a lot of faith in them. But the biggest thing for this franchise now going forward, other than, I mean, I guess they said, you know, Holiday is the number one priority. They need to re-sign him. But, I mean, other than that, the biggest thing that needs to happen is that they need to find a way to make sure that Cousins resigns here, because he's a free agent after the season. If he leaves, then this trade is all for naught, and it's for shit, and it was terrible, and that means everybody deserves to get fired, and then without some drastic miracle, Davis is out of here.
I wonder if before they made the trade, did they reach out to Cousins' people and see, you know, maybe see if how willing he was to stay in New Orleans, you know?
I would think if Demps was on the phone and knew he was going to do that, he was going to make the trade regardless of talking to Cousins, because Cousins is that. Because, I mean, you pull in a second top 12 player in the league, that means he at least gets to keep his job for the year. And I think that's what happened. I mean, the trade enabled them to give it one last go through, and at least there's some kind of stability. I mean, look, Cousins, in all of his years in the NBA, has had a ton of different coaches. You know, let's say we fired Gentry and fired Demps. And, I mean, I don't know how many names are. I mean, Van Gundy or, you know, whoever. But if a new coach comes in and they don't gel, which has been the history with Cousins, if they don't gel and then he leaves, I mean, we're kind of up shit creek. So at least I think, you know, like you said, when you met Gentry, probably not that good of a coach. But in terms of a personality that can do well with Cousins and can work with him and Cousins can trust him. You know, if they have any kind of success next year, at least Gentry can be a guy that can get along with Cousins and get him to stay, because that's really what I think this decision comes down to. We need to keep Cousins here, because if he leaves, then this franchise is fucked, I think.
Cousins or Anthony?
Well, if Cousins leave...
You think we're still fucked?
And we suck. I think Davis. Why would Davis stick around? I mean, then we'd have 2 years doing anything. You're not going to have Cousins. I mean, you'll have a first round pick next year, but you lost. You gave up Hield. You gave up the pick that ended up. I mean, it was 10th this year, but so who knows with that? But I just, you know, all of our hopes hinge on Cousins sticking around, because at least with Cousins and Davis, you would think we can do something.
So yeah, you Cousins, think.
You would think. So, look, we'll have a full off season. I mean, I don't know what kind of free agency we're going to have. I mean, we need to keep Holiday, and if we don't, I don't know what the hell's going to happen. But I think this was all about trying to bring some consistency and make sure that we keep Cousins here.
Keep Cousins or Anthony?
Well, Cousins, and by, I think if Cousins leaves, then I think it's a guarantee Davis is going to. So if Cousins signs an extension here, I think that helps Davis staying here.
Really? Okay.
Well, yeah, look, if Cousins signs an extension, like a freaking 5-6 year extension here, you know, if they can get something going, why would Davis leave if he knows, by the time Davis' extension is up, Cousins is still going to be locked in here for at least 3 years. Right. If they're good and Cousins is here for 3 years, Davis isn't going anywhere. So, and I know, look, there's a lot of vitriol, a lot of fans are frustrated, and I'm frustrated. I mean, I don't think Gentry's a good coach, and I don't think Dempsey's the good coach. And even, look, my dad called into WWL this week. Texted me. He's like, yeah, I called in WWL. I was mad. He was aggravated because he hates him. And, I mean, I get it. Gentry's had a career losing record.
And that was when we had those discussions when he was hired. Gentry Gentry had a record. That was my fucking point. You know, it's not like when you pull an assistant coach out or somebody else and then you can't argue that, well, he's not the guy because he doesn't have an established record. But Gentry had a fucking established record doing the same fucking job you were about to ask him to do here. I mean, that's why, again, super nice man. He is an asset to any organizations he's with. He is smart. He does know basketball. Hold on. But not as a head coach. Not as a head coach.
Yeah, I'm with you. You were right all along from back when. You were right.
Well, it never gets tired. I never get tired of hearing that. But
and look, like I said, like Gentry's, you know, like I really want it to work, but he's a cool dude. He's a cool dude. Like he was out. They had a champagne stroll on Magazine Street on Saturday. I had a company crawfish boil. Then I went to Zach Streif's new brewery for a while with some friends, and they had to leave because they were doing the champagne stroll. And Gentry was just out there, doing the thing. Doing stuff, you know, like he's like, I really want him to work. Like, I'm with, he's just, you know, because he's got to adjust his fast running pace and space to adapt to the fact that, dude, we have Cousins now. Like, we need to change. And I'm worried that he's not gonna do that. And you know what? If he doesn't and we suck, then I mean, that's the one thing you can say about this decision. Like, if we fail this year, they're both out of here. No doubt, 100%. If we don't make the playoffs, they're gone.
Yeah, thank God.
Well, but look, if we miss the playoffs and we lose Cousins, you know, is it worth it to get rid of those two? Or I want to make the playoffs, get better, show some improvement so that Cousins stays and we still have basketball here for a while. Like, as much as I hate these two jokers, needs to happen to get Cousins to stay. Needs to happen, because otherwise this franchise is
right. Dead. Right, I hear what you're saying. So, and Cousins might not stay if they don't make a pod.
Right, right.
All right.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much. Look, this is
Well, here's the thing. Let's make the playoff because they fired.
They fired Monty after making the playoff.
Right after making the playoff, so we can still make the playoff and get rid of. Coach Gentry.
All right. Okay, let's take that into final thoughts, because you guys do still... Or do you want to forego your final thoughts based on the length of the show, and you know you're still going to do your Guardians of the Galaxy piece?
No, I'll do a quick final thought.
All right.
Easy. Quick final thought. TV's been really good. We've had crazy the kind of run of TV. We've had The Leftovers, Better Call Saul... The Americans are still going
that
on.
Trial scene. I haven't seen this week's, but that trial scene of the whole trial episode was great.
It's incredible. Some of my shows have been renewed next year, thankfully. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got renewed. Brooklyn Nine-Nine got renewed. The Goldbergs got renewed for a couple of years. So I didn't have any big cancel. You know, I wasn't disappointed in any of the cancellations. So, look, it's peak TV. I mean, there's so much good stuff on, and I'm excited if a couple of my shows that were on the bubble got renewed for next year. So, yeah, the agency. Look, actually, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a really, really good show.
When is that on?
It's normally on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tuesday nights.
Last Man Standing, I think.
Oh, yeah, that was another one.
Got renewed, right? Yeah.
No, Last Man on Earth.
Or Last Man on Earth, that's what I meant.
Yeah, that's right. That was the other Bubba show that got renewed.
Yeah. Which I'm kind of glad, because the way they ended it was very...
ambiguous, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched Fox. I used to... What's on Fox on Sunday now? Sunday night? I don't watch anything on Fox.
I don't watch it anymore.
Look, I haven't watched The Simpsons since probably like 97.
I haven't watched anything like... I think it felt last
year. Like Family Guy, Simpsons, Bob's Burgers.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't watch a whole lot of that stuff anymore. I'm more on the HBO ones is my Sunday night mainly, like Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Veep.
Yeah.
Valley Leftovers.
Veep is good. Veep is very good.
It's hilarious.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who plays on that, she's good.
I just love how fucking shallow she is.
Right on that. No, and again, kinda Silicon like Valley's funny. You know he's one of the. You know he is incredibly rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he doesn't have to. I know he did Seinfeld, and he had another show on networks, and then he does this. Yeah, but he doesn't have to.
She's a billionaire even before making all that Seinfeld money.
Nice. Right. Good for her.
Right. He's worth more than Jerry Seinfeld.
Good for her.
And Jerry Seinfeld's rich.
All right, Damon, you got a final thought?
I'm gonna give you my condensed final thought. I have another one. I just ask you a question. What's the difference between a lentil and a chickpea?
A lentil is a.
Dude, shut up! I wouldn't pay $200 to have a lentil on my face. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
And that is all the regular show we have for you right now. Stick around if you have seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2, because Jason and Damon are going to do their review of the movie. Spoiler alert. We're going to thank our loyal listeners, though, for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, say no more, wink, wink. Like us on Facebook. Facebook. We got Facebook over here.
Facebook News.
Facebook News. Or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, Google Play, which is all the same thing that I've learned now that I've got a Samsung. So technically, if you don't listen to us on whatever podcast app you choose, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Pelicans first-round pick donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
It was so funny when he mentioned at the end of the show, he was like, I'm Android now. I was like, of course, says the guy who got a Zune.
Right.
I wanted to say it so bad. Like, I am dying to rip him for the Zune.
Well, again, we did last week.
I know, but like, that's why I want him to see the movie so bad. Because like, that's going to be a running joke for me now.
Let's start it because God knows when it's going to end on his.
Yeah, okay.
So I want to start off.
Okay. So you did say that you know, you thought it wasn't quite as good as the first. It was still good. It wasn't quite as good as the first.
It was still good. It was it, the. The storyline wasn't as good, you know, and
I don't know, but I thought it was. I know it can get kind of convoluted, but I thought like there was a lot more heart.
Yes.
A lot more emotion here, and yes. I think the first movie was so kind of like just out there, totally different than anything we had seen. We weren't expecting it. Now, look, this movie was a lot of what we saw in the first one. That's the formula. But I think, like, at the end, you know, for the first one, like, you know, like Ronan, I mean, he was kind of a standard Marvel villain. They haven't had a lot of success with villains.
Right.
It was really pretty basic. Now, you know, the whole concept, the 70s music, the wild out there, I think a lot of that was the same. I just thought, like, I thought Russell was a good character to bring in, definitely, you know, emotional, like a lot of the same classic music, zaniness, stuff like that. But I thought just a lot more emotion everywhere. I thought the villain was more compelling than the first one. So I kind of put it, I mean, you know, obviously I like them both, but I think, I mean, I really like this.
No, I like them both.
To see how it is. I haven't seen it a second time yet. I'm curious to see how it is when I see it the second time.
Sure, like you said, look, still a good movie. If you listen to this, you should go see it. And it was a lot more emotional, which was a good thing, you know, which is the first one was more of a shock and awe and wow, you know, big battles and big. They had big battles here, too. Don't get me wrong, you know.
I mean, it was, you know, it was kind of like the special effects fight between Pratt and his dad, like kind of flying off. Like, obviously, that was kind of like standard special effects guys flying over, running into rocks and shit like that.
Right. Nothing groundbreaking in what they can do today. But again, Marvel just continues to fucking.
They know how to do it. It's
they
crazy.
Have a formula.
But even when they have a formula, though, like, I mean, the Guardians movies, I guess there's a formula for a Guardians movie, but it is different than a normal Marvel movie. A lot more comedy. I mean, God, I laughed a ton. Like when Yondu came down the end and said, "I'm Mary Poppins."
Right. Yeah. All right. And Batista's character is just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I didn't think they could pull it off. Like a, you know, the first time, it's like, oh, this is this weird, literal guy. Like, can they keep going with that? But yeah, he was hysterical.
No. They did. It was a good movie. I am. I know there's going to be a third one, I assume.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely going to be a third.
And they're going to be big, obviously, in the next Avengers. I like that. I like how they, you know, obviously, the two female characters are
Thanos' daughters.
Thanos, or I was about to say Thorn. Thanos' daughters, right. So it puts you know, that ending sets up the next, you know, Avengers, and that's
right.
Where...
It'll set up the connection to how, like, Thanos goes to Earth. Nebula's going to be after Thanos.
Right. They're,
you know,
right.
The Guardians are going to follow her. So yeah, that'll be how they hit
right.
That.
That's how you wrap that up in a little ball. So yeah, I mean, again, besides, you know, unless you want to go individually plot wise through the
I don't have to do that. I mean, I thought you know, Russell was a good villain. They did a nice, cool de-aging when they showed him.
Yeah.
In the age, I mean.
He said it was good, huh?
He said like it was mostly makeup and just a few touches, but man, he looked like his, you know.
Yeah, he looked like his old self.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. They did a great job with Kurt Russell.
Now it will be interesting to see. You know, he planted the little thing, and over the course of the movie, all of a sudden this huge blob just grew. So you got to think if something like that happens eventually for another Marvel movie down the line, like. They're going to have to reference that this happened. I mean, this is just crazy.
Right. But what I think, I mean, and because I did think about that plot point also, I think he just planted one of those things there, and it ate a city the size of LaPlace. So no one's going to give a shit.
Well,
if LaPlace disappeared, no one would care.
Well, but if some crazy alien blob devoured it, it's going to get traction.
Right. Well, but not after you had the Avengers and they were again, you know. So.
Well, but you would think the Avengers will look into it.
That is the part that, right. But that's what all of these movies are going to have to contend with. And right when you have a Thor movie or an Iron Man movie, right? We've talked about it before, I think. Right, where are the rest of the Avengers when Iron Man fighting this one thing?
Right, you know, like, I mean, this is such a huge threat.
Right, right. You know, yeah. Why aren't the superheroes always? You know, that's one of the questions you just don't, you know. Yeah. You just have to shut up and not ask.
Yeah, and I'm usually not too.
Right, picky about that, but I thought the same thing when I'm watching and the city's being destroyed. Right, well, where's Iron Man? Why didn't Iron Man show up to help?
But I did love, Baby Groot was kind of fun.
So awesome.
Yeah, and even obviously, you know, one of the post credit scenes, like the teenage Groot was hysterical.
Right.
I thought that was funny.
We're gonna have a full size Groot in the next. Next time we'll see him will be Avengers.
Yeah, because technically supposedly the timeline of this movie is supposed to only take place a couple of months after the first movie. So yeah, Groot will be more fully grown. I did like the little Stan Lee.
Oh my God. Best Stan Lee appearance ever. I loved it. I loved it with the Watchers.
And it's cool. It was just like a random throwaway, like when they're jumping through the spot and like, oh, we got 700 jumps. Like, oh, it's just through the one random jumps. Yeah. And then, of course, he referenced his when he was the FedEx guy in Civil War when he called him Tony Stank.
Right. Now, you knew the characters he was with?
Yeah.
Okay, the Watchers.
Yeah, the Watchers.
Right, and Marvel uses them when they do all their what ifs and blah 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 and all that stuff. So that, I mean, to me, that was, you know, again, me, I'm being a geek fan. That was so fucking
cool. Yeah, like
cool.
when they went through and I saw him sitting, I was like, wait a second, those guys look familiar. Right. I know who those guys are. That's funny. They're kind of like the Observers and Fringe.
Right, right, right. That's what they do. Like I said, right. I don't know of any storyline where they've ever interfered with the Marvel Universe, you know, but even in the comics, again, you know, that's when they do their what ifs. It's the Watchers.
Yeah, and they just
tell you all the stories.
Yeah, like they don't interfere in anything. They just watch. So that's cool. And then there was a rumor floating around before this movie came out that why Stan Lee is kind of in every Marvel movie? Is he playing a different person or is he playing the same person? So now this leads you to believe that he's actually the same person who just happens to show up in all these different movies because he's either with or a Watcher.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's good. I like how they tie that in. That was definitely a good Easter egg. I don't know if that's an Easter egg, but whatever. You're gonna have to refresh my memory, right? So you had a teenage Groot, and what was the other?
Oh, so yeah, they had five post credit scenes. Four of them were for humor. Only one was
right to move the plot along.
Related, right? There's Adam Warlock. He's a huge. It's interesting because in the comics, he's a huge character in the Infinity Gauntlet storyline with Thanos, but apparently. He's not going to be in Infinity War. They're saving him for Guardians 3. So he's going to be...
Okay, but remind me what it was. I said through them all.
So there was that. There was...
Well, what did he do, though? I mean, what was that?
He was a big omnipotent being, and he... I thought he had, like, an Infinity Stone with him for a while on his forehead, but he basically helped him defeat Thanos in the Infinity Gauntlet. But he's this, like, otherworldly cosmic...
Right, but I'm talking about the scene, the actual scene at the end of the movie.
It was the gold lady who got defeated.
She said,
I'm creating this, you know, after all these defeats, now I'm creating, like, the real perfect race.
Right, perfect that's right, okay.
People, and it was the pod. Yeah.
That's right.
So that was it. They had the teenage Groot. They had the so since Yondu died, I guess we didn't touch on that, which I'm glad... I mean, I'm glad they actually killed a
sure
that people like because that's been kind of a thing. Like nobody really dies, and Yondu kind of came into his own in this episode.
Yes, he did.
He really, you know, that's why he didn't bring him to. They were like, man, why'd you did you know? Because he got they showed him earlier when he met with the other Ravagers. They excommunicated him.
Excommunicated?
Because he was bringing Ego's children to him only. For him to kill him when they didn't pan out. So they kind of knew all that. So he kept him he kept Quill from him, which was kind of nice. And then he saved him at the end and died. But I mean, right, dude, I tell you what, the scene when they escape the ship, when him and Rocket escape the ship and he just kills everybody with the arrow.
Oh yeah, that was good.
That was fucking badass.
That we saw that coming. Yeah. And then the I'm going to forget some of, but the cameos were spectacular. I thought you know, Sylvester Stallone.
Well, that was also one of the post-credit scenes.
Right,
supposedly,
right.
Like all the people that he was with, supposedly they play characters that were in the comics. They were the original Guardians of the Galaxy when they first got introduced in like the 60s or 70s.
Okay.
These were the Guardians of the Galaxy. He plays this guy named Star something.
Stallone does?
Mark Star or Star or something. Okay. But they were the original Guardians of the Galaxy, and they were from the year 3000, and they came to the past. So like everybody was with them, the crystal head guy, Ving Rhames.
Right.
The CGI person. Those were the original Guardians. So, and one of the post-credit scenes was like, hey, let's get guys back together and let's go. So they could be a big presence in Guardians 3.
I'd be surprised if Stallone does anything else, but
I mean, he's so old. Like, is he even gonna? I mean, I guess, you know, he's not that old, but if they're gonna do something with him, they're gonna have to do it soon because he's gonna be too old to really do anything.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Have you seen the man? I mean, he looks spectacular.
Well, yeah. I mean, all the steroids in the world and all the workouts in the world, but he's still what? Seven? He's got to be 70, right?
I think he's 67.
Okay.
I mean, you know, not that that's young, but. Okay.
So there's a possibility that his crew, you know, they can do an offshoot in the future. That's the one thing, you know, going Guardians and Cosmic, it seems like, you know, once Infinity War is over, you know, there may not be Iron Man and Captain America anymore. They may
doubt,
you know, all these other secondary characters and cosmic characters. So.
Sure.
But again, it's amazing how just every Marvel movie is just, like, none of them's a dud. I mean, the second Thor movie, I think, has been the worst one.
It definitely was, but this next Thor movie looks to hit it out the fucking park.
Oh, God.
I am so excited
awesome.
About that.
Oh, yeah. It's got the trailer. It's awesome.
I mean, I'm more excited about that than a lot of the other stuff that's, you know, they're doing. I mean, even than Black Panther, which I think will be good, but this next Thor is going to be.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fucking
right. Fantastic. Now, I read something this week, just, I mean, to stay with the MCU, about one of the reasons they're not doing a standalone Hulk movie. Because even though Marvel owns the rights to Hulk, they don't own the distribution rights.
No, so if they did a standalone Hulk,
Universal would distribute it and make the money. So they're saying they don't think.
Yeah. We've had, you know, two Hulk movies, and technically
the first one
the first one was shit, but technically the second one with Edward Norton, technically that's part of the MCU. The
MCU, right.
Right. Right. They just replaced
right.
him with
Right, they right, but the
but
first
the one, actor, but it's, you know, like it's pretty hard. Maybe now it'd be different, but it's very hard to do a standalone Hulk movie. Whereas it's a lot easier to just stick him in. Yeah, we'll stick him in an event,
right?
And like, right. Hey, Thor needs a little lift. We'll stick him in the Storm movie.
Exactly, right.
I think it's like we said. I think the Thor movie's gonna be fucking awesome.
Right, and that's what Mark Ruffalo even said. They were talking about it. That's what they came up with. That Hulk can have his own story through these, you know, and he said that with Thor and the next Avengers and then something else, that there's going to be a really big Hulk story in it.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting. But anyway, I mean, we don't, you know, we can talk about this forever. Look, like I said, definitely, like you said.
One last thing about Guardians, the Hasselhoff appearance.
Oh my God, how good was that?
God damn it.
I mean, I knew it was going to happen when they started talking about him. So, come on, you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I guess the cameos and the jokes in this movie are just so fucking nice.
I mean,
and I think we probably said it when it first came out. If we didn't have Star Wars, you know, I mean, this is Star Wars, basically, is what this is, you know? it's a huge, intergalactic adventure that the Guardians of the Galaxy run through, and it's entertaining to watch. And
yeah, so I mean, just look at the opening sequence of the movie when they're all fighting, and you got Baby Groot in the background, and they're doing the intros and the thing that's kind of like in the back. Yeah, that was James Gunn. You know, they lucked out. They made such a wise decision hiring him to do the first and second, and now he said he's definitely doing the third. But to have him direct the movie has been golden. That's one thing that Marvel has done well on, especially more recently, as they've kind of tried to break somewhat from the standard formula. You know, still be in the universe, but kind of put your own spin on it. You know, the different directors. I mean, you know, like Gunn for Guardians. You got the guy who's doing Thor, Waititi, whatever it is, the guy who's doing Black Panther. These individual great directors that haven't really worked with blockbusters so much in the past. They've done smaller movies, but done pretty well. But to give them the space to do all this and to let them do their thing, I mean, they've really done well with that. They really haven't had any misses. It's kind of amazing, the whole Marvel empire over the last, you know, since the first Iron Man. It's pretty insane to think about.
Yeah.
How much, I mean, there's 15 movies out in this shared universe. I mean, the first to try this whole shared universe thing. Now other studios are trying to copy them. You got Universal trying to do the monster universe. You got DC trying to do their thing. But I mean, Marvel's developed such a, you know, they developed the brand so well, and it's just, and to keep hitting. I mean, when pressure is high, it's almost kind of like Pixar. Like, hey, at some point they're going to put out a dud. Like, we're just waiting on it, and they keep churning out these fun movies. It's been incredible.
Well, again, so I mean, they have put a dud out, like you said. The second Thor was a, you know, you can't really count the second Hulk, which came out after Iron Man, right? It came out after Iron Man.
It came out that same summer, but Iron Man came out in May. Hulk came out in like June, July. But it was already made before they knew.
Right, and it was so close, so you can't really count that one. You know, we didn't realize what it is, but the second Thor was. I've only seen that movie one time. You know,
seen it. Well, I saw it once in the theaters, and then I've kind of caught bits and pieces on TV, but it's still just it's not good.
I think Stars has it. I don't have Stars.
Yes. Stars tends to get. I changed my cable like a month ago, and Stars was one of the ones I dumped. But a lot of all the new Marvel movies popped up on Stars.
Right. Well, I think Netflix is getting them out because at the end of the month.
Civil
War is on Netflix, and then Doctor Strange is on Netflix. Okay, so I think Netflix is trying to get.
So it. But yeah, look, it definitely sets up. Look, I'm excited for where, you know, Marvel and even Kevin Feige, the thing said, look, as they're going a little more cosmic, expanding the universe. I like it. I mean, you know, from the trailer in Thor, Jeff Goldblum, the character he plays, apparently he was, you know how in the post credits for Guardians, they had the little circles with the people?
Right.
There supposedly, there was one of them, and I missed it when I was watching it, but Jeff Goldblum's character from Thor was in one of those things.
Yeah, I think I saw it. I mean, I watched all. I mean, I did. I was paying attention.
I mean, I stayed till the end, but I.
Yeah, sure. You got to now.
But no, look, Guardians was great. Definitely, if you're listening, you must have watched it, so you already saw it. But just I love. I'm all in on like everything Marvel's doing right now. Like
everything.
All in.
Well, you know, but you know what struck me funny when I sat down to watch the movie. Several things. First of all, every trailer I watched was superhero.
There were so many. Yeah,
The first two was Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah, we,
and,
we saw we have Wonder Woman.
Justice League. Wonder Woman, Justice League. Wonder Woman, Justice League.
No, you know what?
Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man, Thor.
Thor.
Then I had Pirates. I had Transformers.
I didn't get those two.
Yeah, there were maybe like a half hour of trailers.
Right.
We saw it opening weekend. Oh, but yeah, you probably did too, though.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, I saw it before you. Right. I saw that.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it that Friday night. Yeah.
But like I said, every one of mine was comic books. But and I was sitting there, like I said, they did Wonder Woman and they did the Justice League. And I'm thinking, how the fuck are there two Marvel? I mean, how are there two DC, you know, DC movies in front of a Marvel? But
hey, they pay for the advertising. They pay to put the trailer there.
And obviously, that's, you know, if you're a comic book movie, and again, then
right, because you figure like everybody who's going to go see this movie is going to go see
And like I said, then it was Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man, and then for a while I was like, man, they haven't shown the Thor one yet. I think that was the last
Thor,
one,
right? And then there was Thor, right? I think I had five, but anyway, they were all comic books.
Yep.
I just thought, I said that's, like you said, look, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have got that, you know?
Right. It's crazy.
Before Iron Man, all you had was Batman and Superman,
and I remember
any iota of success.
Yeah, like when Iron Man came out, I remember the trailers, and I'm like, okay, it might be good, but like, and I know who Iron Man is, but like, Iron Man's just a no name random comic.